bring you the latest weather news shortly. We're just waiting for the latest update from Met Éireann, and we're going to have that very soon. So stay with us for that. But to the Middle East now. Syria has been marking 1 year on from the fall of the dictatorship of Bashar al-Assad. The country's new president, Akmal al-Shara, said Syria had broken away from its past of repression and violence. But Syria is still in ruins and tensions remain, especially among Assad's sect, the Alawites, who fear a repeat of the massacres they suffered earlier this year when around 1,400 people were killed in sectarian violence. In a moment, we'll hear from Celine Schmidt from the UN Refugee Agency. But first, let's listen to Arubi, who is from the Latakia region of Syria and has been living in Dublin for many years. He told our reporter Joe Caulfield about the persecution his family suffered in the aftermath of the fall of Bashar al-Assad last year because they belong to the minority Alawite religious group.
They came to my sister's house, three soldiers, with they broke into the house. They threatened my sister and my brother-in-law and the kids. Thank God, like for whatever reason, they spared their life, but they get out. And hundreds of soldiers in the area, they start taking men, and the 37 people they put, you know, killed in just a little small area like where my sister used to live. So because of that, I had to smuggle them out to Beirut. Cost me a lot of money, to be honest, and it was very dangerous because during the journey from Latakia to Beirut, you know, there was a lot of soldiers like stopping people and checking IDs. And if they look at your ID and they know that you're Alawite, they'll ask you if you're Alawite, they could kill you.
The rest of your family then, are you worried about them?
Big time, man. Big time. Like I want to take every single one of them out of there.
That was Syrian man Arubi speaking to our reporter Joe Caulfield. We're joined now by Celine Schmidt, who works with the UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, in Syria. Good morning and thank you for speaking with us today.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Since this time last year, more than a million Syrians who fled the war to neighbouring countries have returned to Syria. What kind of a country are they returning to now? Do they have homes to go back to?
Yeah, yes, that's correct. Now it's more than 1.2 million refugees who have returned, but also, you know, nearly 2 million people who were displaced inside Syria who have returned. So in total, that's more than 3 million Syrians who've returned home. But they go back to huge challenges. They go back to destroyed homes. They go back to, you know, destroyed neighborhoods where the hospital is destroyed, the school is destroyed. But also, for example, civil registries is destroyed. So they go back to huge challenges. But despite that, what we are seeing is people are returning. We see huge courage, but we see also a lot of hope in the future. But we need, you know, to help them to keep that hope and provide support now. Now is the time to support.
You need to help them. What kind of help are you able to provide for all of those people who are returning back, trying to make a life for themselves in Syria again?
Yeah, so as UNHCR, you know, we are humanitarian actors. Of course, you know, we provide some support which is linked to recovery as well. We provide assistance to the most vulnerable. We are helping them, first of all, you know, to return home in a dignified way for those who are willing to return, providing some transport. We are rehabilitating some homes. We are providing, you know, the basic items they need. We are also helping them in terms of legal advice because many of those returning, but also those who stayed, don't have identity documents because maybe they have lost their identity documents. They are expired. They don't have birth certificates for their children. So we are also helping them with that. And then we are helping them with small livelihood grants, you know, because also I was telling about the challenges in terms of homes being destroyed. But access to employment, access to an income is also a huge challenge. But, you know, compared to the needs, what we are doing as humanitarian actors is a drop. Of course, it's key because we are helping the most vulnerable, but much more is needed. Humanitarian assistance still, but also, you know, development, recovery, investments by the private sector.
There were celebrations in Syria yesterday, a year on from the fall of the Assad regime. But as we mentioned there, and hearing from Arubi in that clip, speaking to our colleague Joe, There's still a lot of concern, isn't there, among minority communities like the Alawites and the Druze people because of the violence that was inflicted on them earlier this year. What can you tell us about the concerns that those communities have about the future now?
Yes, yes, of course. And as you said, yes, I am in Damascus. So I saw yesterday, you know, the celebrations and the hope, you know, for a better future. But what we have seen throughout the past year is indeed that the security situation remains fluid in some areas. You've mentioned the coastal areas where violence broke out in March, but also more recently in the south of the country where people have been displaced. You know, what we do as UNHCR as well, because we are a humanitarian actor, so in addition to providing support to those who are willing to return, we continue to provide humanitarian assistance. So we've provided assistance in the coastal areas with, you know, basic items, but also through our community centers, our outreach volunteers, you know, in terms of protection. And we are doing the same in the south now with our teams through our community centers to provide, you know, humanitarian assistance for people who have been displaced by recent violence.
Okay, Céline, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That's Céline Schmidt from the UNHCR in Syria. It is 19 minutes past 7.